O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we've come together to worship you. Draw near to us through your word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts so that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for his sake. Amen. Welcome to each of you to today's worship service in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, whose word is like a seed that's planted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, inspired word of our God, seed which also the Lord causes to sprout and grow by his power with fruits of faith to our Savior's praise and to our own great joy. We pray the Spirit of God be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of our God, who has created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right hand, in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us, we pray, from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever things you want done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Today's first Bible lesson we find recorded in the book of Isaiah the prophet. We read there in chapters 55, verses 10 to 13, where the prophet uses the picture of rain and snow, the precipitation coming down from above, and which waters the earth and makes things grow. And that's the same way it is, the Lord says, with his holy word as it goes out and is planted in human hearts. We read Isaiah 55, 10 to 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Here ends the first lesson. Join now in rereading words responsively from the 119th Psalm. The unfolding of your words gives light. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. You are my refuge and my shield. Long ago, I learned from your statutes. Because I love your commands. And because I consider all your precepts right. And our second lesson today is drawn from Romans. We read there in the 8th chapter, verses 18 through 25. Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the glorious freedom, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Confess together our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. To him who loved us, freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be kings and priests to serve our God and Father, to him be glory, honor, and power forever and ever. Amen. Our text today is found recorded in Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9, one of Jesus' parables. That same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Here ends the text. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, dearly beloved of God, he who has ears, let him hear. It's an exhortation the Lord Jesus gives to his Christians very frequently on the pages of Holy Scripture. For example, at the end of each of the letters that he addresses to the members of the churches of Asia, recorded in Revelation 2 and 3, he speaks these words. After providing a lesson on the costs of and the sacrifices that are necessary for all who would be his disciples, he spoke those words. After presenting his parable of the weeds among the wheat, later on in our chapter, Matthew 13, he spoke them. And so too here in our text, after relating his parable of the sower, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." What's the meaning of that oft-repeated phrase of our Savior? Well, he's saying that as the sound waves of his voice strike our eardrums, or the things that we read of his word in the Bible, that we are to allow them to find their way down into our hearts. And that is our desire this morning as we consider the Lord's parable of the sower. We ask Jesus to bless us with hearts that are good soil for his gospel seed, that we would have ears that listen to him prayerfully, asking for understanding, persistently seeking depth of religious conviction, and attentively blocking out earthly worries and cares. It was a typically active day in the ministry of Jesus in the bustling seaside village of Capernaum. He'd spent the day ministering to various bodily needs of the people, curing various health problems that they had. And then in concern for their everlasting welfare, he also took care to provide them with their all-important soul needs by teaching them God's word. And while spending himself in service to the crowds that were coming to him, we're told that Jesus had to endure the vile hatred of the Pharisees who accused him of performing his miracle cures in league with Beelzebub. And then there were misguided family members, Mary his mother and his half-brothers, who when they saw how hard Jesus was working and how huge the crowds were that were demanding his attention, how bitter was the opposition that he was facing, and thinking that Jesus was losing his sanity, working so hard, tried to get into the crowded place where he was teaching and escort him home. You need to take a break, Jesus, they thought. I don't know about you, but if I'd been faced with those problems and pressures, I think I probably would have called it a day and agreed to go home and get some rest. Not Jesus. In the fervency of his love for the souls he came to redeem, he used the hours still remaining in the day to continue serving the people. He walked down to the Lake Galilee shoreline, and with crowds amassing even larger, so that it was impossible for him to speak in such a way that everybody could hear, he got into a boat, rowed it out a little from land, and from that makeshift pulpit, shared more words of eternal life with the people. And that's when he related the parable of the sower of our text, in which he spoke of a farmer who went out into the field to scatter seed on four kinds of soil. Soil type number one was the footpath along the edge of the farmer's field, and when the birds saw the seed and spying a ready-made easy meal, swooped down and gobbled it up. And the heavenly truth that Jesus was presenting by that seed, if you jump forward into Matthew 13, you'll note how later on when Jesus was alone with his disciples, they asked him to explain the parable and he gave its interpretation. And he said the heavenly truth that he was presenting by that seed was, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. That's the seed that's sown along the path. Jesus was picturing how when his word is presented to people and it doesn't match up with their own way of thinking, their preconceived ideas of what they want it to say, that the devil kind of causes it to go in one ear right out the other, and to dismiss it right away without believing it. A few examples of this that might come to mind, just three: the creation account, the book of Genesis, when that word of the Lord is presented that God created the world in 6 24-hour days, yet because it doesn't coincide with man's reason, the devil causes many to reject it in favor of the theory of evolution. Or God must have used 6 days in the sense of long eons of time to bring about the formation of the universe. The miracles of Jesus, like feeding crowds of people with just a few loaves and fish, and raising up the dead, and resurrecting himself on Easter morning. And the central truth of the Holy Scriptures, that God made his own son to suffer an excruciatingly painful death on the cross, the innocent for the guilty, as our sin-bearing substitute, so that we criminals might go scot-free by faith in him. Jesus' righteousness is credited to our accounts as a gift. And he's the only Savior, no salvation in any other. Because these teachings and many others don't match what people want to believe in their pride, they don't think they need a Savior, they refuse to accept them as God's truth, the devil snatching it away so that it can't get down into their heart of hearts. So we want to pray that the Lord bless us with always with ears that listen prayerfully, asking for the Spirit's understanding. Like the psalmist said, give me understanding, Lord, and I will treasure your word and follow it with all of my heart. And by the way, when we pray for understanding, we of course don't mean that in the sense of always being able to figure out and explain how the Lord does what he does, like in the creation, how he did that, or Jesus' miracles, but understanding in the sense of just reading the bare words of the Bible as they are on the page. In 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, Exodus 20. 1 John 2, He, Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Acts 4, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. Reading these words, taking them at their face value in a spirit of spirit-given humility, using our reason as a servant of the Scriptures, not as a master over it, not imposing our own thoughts upon the Holy Scriptures, but taking our human reason captive in obedience to Christ, praying, sanctify me, Lord, by your truth, your word. It's truth. And as we listen to the word of God in that kind of a spirit, praying for understanding, then also that we listen persistently, seeking depth of religious conviction and knowledge. Jesus went on to speak in his parable about another kind of soil on which the farmer's seed fell, the rocky soil. That seed germinated, started to grow quickly because of the soil's shallowness. When the sun's rays hit it, it warmed it up really fast, so it grew fast. But because of the rocks, the roots couldn't get down deep, and so the plant got scorched, withered away. Here Jesus is picturing those with a commitment to Holy Scripture that is very short-lived. Receive it with enthusiasm at the beginning. They take catechism classes. They become members of a congregation, maybe regular attenders of worship services for a while. But when trouble, persecution come their way because of the word, when they are ridiculed by maybe friends or co-workers, others, because of their stand on the Bible and the sayings of Jesus that don't mesh with the thinking of the culture of the day, hot point issues like, hot button issues like the Bible's teaching on marriage, the sanctity of human life, including of the unborn, the role of women in the church, the doctrine of church fellowship, close communion. They don't want to be ridiculed, so they start to drift away from the church and from the truths that they were taught from the word, thinking maybe what the culture says is right after all, and maybe the Bible is wrong. And so their faith ends up getting scorched. So yeah, how important it is that we pray, Lord, bless us with ears that listen persistently, with hearts that seek depth of religious conviction. Help me, Lord, to be like that wise man that you spoke about at the end of your Sermon on the Mount, who built his house on the rock, heard the word of God and practiced it, so that when the rains poured down and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, it did not collapse because it had a solid foundation. Enable me to be like, spiritually speaking, a baby that craves pure spiritual milk so that by it I may grow up in my salvation. Help me to move on from the milk teachings of the Bible, the simple ABCs, to the meatier doctrines, so they also be deeply rooted in me as well, so that all through my life I may stay grounded upon your word, Lord, with you at the very center. Grant me a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, and that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe, a faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, and darkness knows no doubt, and that bears unmoved the world's dread frown, nor heeds its scornful smile, that sin's wild ocean cannot drown, nor Satan's arts beguile. And we also ask the Lord to bless us with ears that listen attentively, blocking out earthly worries and cares. Jesus spoke of another kind of soil on which the farmer's seed fell that was overgrown with weeds, started growing, but was soon choked because it was unable to compete for moisture and sunlight with those weeds. Anyone that has a garden can relate to this. You know how it's an endless battle to get out and keep out the weeds, and if not eradicated, they will eventually take over that garden and drain strength from the good plants, causing them to be overrun. In his explanation later on in this chapter, Jesus explains that this seed is representative of those who hear his word, are brought to faith in him as their Savior, but then the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of this life cause their faith to peter out, making it unfruitful so that it never gets to the point of thriving. Here we might recall the words of Paul to his co-pastor Timothy in his first letter when he said, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people eager for wealth, for money, for worldly possessions have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, once again, you'll recall what he said, you cannot serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And then in the very next breath in that same sermon, he counsels us to guard against the worry thorn. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So yeah, we ask the Lord to bless us with hearts that listen in that way, attentively, blocking out earthly worries and concerns as we give attention to the one thing needful, because we know that's what the Lord is going to continue to use throughout our lifespan to bless us with true contentment, a deep down joy, a great assurances in his promises, and the ability to ward off all the devils and all the world's, what it throws at us to try to choke off our Christian faith. To help us to say in every circumstance of life triumphantly, what is the world to me with all its vaunted pleasure when you and you alone, Lord Jesus, are my treasure? You only, dearest Lord, my soul's delight shall be. You are my peace and my rest. What is the world to me? Ever to be like that seed which fell on the good soil, grew up, matured, produced a crop many times more than what the farmer originally planted. We hear the word with a noble heart, understand it, trust it, find comfort in it, and in whose lives, by the Spirit's power, fruits of faith are produced to the Savior of us all. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste ye now the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. Amen. And may the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew.
As you're probably aware, we are not collecting the offering during the course of the worship service. The collection plate is in the church foyer for those that have an offering they would like to give for the Lord's kingdom work. So at this time, we'll continue with prayer and then the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, who created all things in heaven and earth by your Son, giving him authority over all, we thank you that through him we have received the Spirit of adoption, through which we may truly know you as our Father, call upon you in prayer, and be assured that we will be heard as your children. Father, for your church and your people we pray. Give unto them ministers and teachers who are led by your Spirit, who earnestly hold forth the word of life, faithfully leading your children and teaching them all things our Lord has commanded. Save your flock from all false shepherds and deceitful guides, that they, being knit together in love, may stand firm in one spirit and with one mind strive together for the gospel of Christ crucified. Father, let your Holy Spirit descend upon each of our homes. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in the children, and grant that all parents may be worthy examples of Christian faith and virtue. For those among us who live alone, grant the firm assurance of your abiding presence and comfort them in knowing that they are never truly alone. May we all recognize the most important family bond we share, the bond of faith, so that we may bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord God, from whom all good gifts come, give the assurance of your love and mercy to all who may be enduring pain, sickness, the onset of disease, spiritual anguish, or any other affliction of body or soul. Lift them up so that they may give themselves completely into your care and find in you the answers for their troubles. And now, Heavenly Father, since you've encouraged us in your word to let our requests be made known with thanksgiving and prayer, we come to you in gratitude and trust, offering these petitions in Jesus' name, our rock and redeemer. We also join to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
You may be seated for the last hymn. Lord be with you.
And with you, and thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.